Well, good morning. Before we get started today, I just wanted to give a few announcements. For next week, obviously, is our Christmas program, and everyone should know at this point what their role is, and looking forward to that. Welcome to the second Sunday of Advent 2023, and you know, as we draw closer to that glorious Christmas day, I pray that we're all taking some time to be in God's Word, to be praying, just, you know, serving, getting out of ourselves, if you will, and just going against the busyness of this season. Pray for that. So this week, we have our regular Wednesday night ministries, Wednesday afternoon youth group and kids church. And what an amazing ministry. It's just grown so much. And just thankful for all the volunteers and everyone who helps there. Let's see, what else do we have? We've got our, next week we have our pantry distribution on Saturday the 16th from 1 to 3. We have our Christmas program and potluck next week, like we talked about. So please stay, invite someone and stay for a meal afterwards. Next board meeting is December 18th at 6. Then on Christmas Eve day, I guess, we're going to celebrate at our regular time at 10:30 a.m. And the kids will be upstairs like they are this week for the Christmas program. And we just have a really joyous time planned for that day. And then it gives you time to, you know, just take off and be with people that you love on Christmas Eve. And look forward to that. Next men's game night is Tuesday the 26th. And then at 6 o'clock, Vision Sunday. Vision Sunday is coming up December 31st. Look forward to that day every year to kind of stop and regroup and refresh and talk about what our word and our focus is for 2024. I look forward to that. Next Women's Breakfast and Study is on Friday, January 5th at 8 a.m. So would you join me in prayer as we start our service today, as we get ready to hear from God's Word? Lord, we thank you for this place to gather to worship you. Help us to focus our hearts on you during our time together. And Father, we are here for you and to meet with you and to be in your Holy Spirit presence. We're just so grateful for that. Help us to recognize our need, Father, for your love, grace, mercy, and forgiveness. Father, help us to equip and encourage one another in obedience to your word through the power of the Holy Spirit. Father, I pray that you would remove anything that distracts us from hearing from you today, and that we would worship you with all our hearts, all our minds, all our souls. Lord, today and every day, help us to find hope in you. And today, especially, help us to see your love for us that never changes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, if you would, please turn to John chapter 3 in your Bible. We're going to start there today. We'll jump around a little bit, but that's our main passage for today. So, Christmas, right? What would Christmas be without the songs and carols? You know, even if you wanted to, there's no possible way for you to escape hearing Christmas carols over the next few weeks. And like Scott shared last week, I just love that. My family and the youth group can attest to the fact that I hum Christmas carols all year long. Drives them crazy. You know, we hear them at church, right? We hear them while shopping, while on hold with a cable company, and 24/7 on K-Love. We are inundated with Christmas carols from the day after Thanksgiving to December 25th. So a little something different this morning as we start. You know, there's a lot of Christmas carols, but there's also a lot of that are Christian, but there's also, you know, secular-based ones, and doesn't mean they're all bad. I mean, you know, who doesn't like Frosty the Snowman, right? But there are some that, you know, that have a theme, a common theme that goes throughout. And, you know, like in Sleigh Ride, you have "We're snuggled up together like two birds of a feather would be." Now, I'm not going to sing and embarrass myself, but, you know, then "Let It Snow," "When We Finally Kiss Goodnight," "How I'll Hate Going Out in the Storm, but if you really hold me tight, all the way home I'll be warm." And then "Holly Jolly Christmas." It says, "Ho, ho, the mistletoe is hung where you can see. Somebody waits for you. Kiss her once for me." And finally, "Winter Wonderland." We all know this one, you know. Remember Parson Brown, right? "In the meadow, we can build a snowman and pretend that he's Parson Brown. He'll say, are you married? We'll say, no, man, but you can do the job while you're in town. So do you notice a theme there? There's a theme in all these songs, you know? Well, Valentine's Day may get all the glory for being the day of love, but it seems like Christmas has cornered the market as the season of love. In fact, in the 2019 American Wedding Study conducted by Brides Magazine, and no, I don't usually read Brides Magazine. I got this on the internet. Researchers found that 19% of all engagements occur in December, making it the most popular month to get engaged. And can you guess what day is the most popular to pop the question? Well, statistics show that Christmas Eve is the most popular day for engagements. And Facebook confirmed this last year, showing that Christmas Eve is the most popular day to get engaged, followed by Christmas Day, New Year's Day, and then Valentine's Day. So Valentine's Day didn't even make the top three. So Christmas, if you will, is the season of love. If you were with us last week, you know that we began a journey through the gifts of Christmas. We know that the greatest gift we'll ever receive is the gift of Jesus Christ. He is the reason for the season. But Jesus came with gifts for us, and we're unwrapping the four most important gifts we could ever receive from him. You know, last Sunday, we unwrapped the gift of hope. We talked about experiencing past hope, present hope, and patient hope, or a future hope during the Advent season. The word Advent means coming or arrival. And this season offers us the opportunity to share in the ancient longing for the coming of the Messiah, to celebrate his birth and to be alert for his second coming. The second gift of Christmas that we're going to unwrap today is love. Advent is a season for rediscovering the coming of our Savior and for gaining even greater understanding of how wide and long and high and deep his love is for us. This is the gift that we unwrap today. There's one verse in the Bible marked by love that encapsulates the Christmas story and the gospel. I'm going to guess that if I had to say the reference, you know, if I said the reference, John 3:16, many of us in the room or listening online would hear the familiar verse run through our heads automatically. Just in case, it goes like this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Word of God, amen. This single sentence sums up the story of Christmas, again, the gospel, and highlights God's love in sending Jesus. The problem is sometimes we're so familiar with this verse that we can recite it and look right past it. But here we discover one of the greatest Christmas gifts of all, the gift of love. In fact, if we break it down, we'll see four aspects of God's love contained in this beloved verse. Well, first we see the origin of love. The origin of love. Jesus begins the sentence with the words, God so loved. Love at Christmas time or any time begins with God. Love has been God's story from the beginning. From the moment of creation, God's love was part of the fabric of our world. God's love was with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, both before and after sin entered the world. God showed his love by saving Noah and his family from the flood and giving them a fresh start. In the Old Testament, God gave the commandments and law out of love for his children. And his love turned the world upside down and inside out when he sent his son to live among us. Love finds its origins in God himself because love is an intrinsic attribute of God's eternal nature. In fact, the Apostle John even writes in 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, God is love. Those three little words ought to fill our hearts with warmth and hope. And if those words are true, it makes all the difference in the world. But we need to understand this rightly. You know, God is love does not mean that love is God. In other words, love does not define God. Rather, God defines love. Much of what we call love in our culture has no resemblance or relationship to real godly love. So most of you are familiar with 1 Corinthians chapter 13, which says this. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all the mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love. You know, that passage not only describes what real love looks like, it describes what God looks like, because God is love. Well, there's a story, an old story about the great preacher Charles Spurgeon. One day, Charles was walking through the English countryside with a friend. You know, as they strolled along, the evangelist noticed a barn with a weather vane on its roof. At the top of the vane were the words, God is love. You know, Spurgeon remarked to his companion that he thought that this was a, you know, rather inappropriate place for such a message. Weather vanes are always changing, he said, but God's love is constant. Well, I disagree with you, Charles, replied his friend. You know, I think you misunderstand the meaning. You see, that sign is indicating a truth. Regardless of which way the wind blows, God is love. First truth we discover about this wonderful gift of love is that love comes from God because it's a great part of who God is. Next, this beloved verse points out the object of love. That's the object of love. As Jesus continues, he says, God so loved the world. Perhaps the most perplexing part of God's love is that we are the object of it. God loves the world. That means God loves you and God loves me. And just as it is with any gift, the first thing we must do is accept it, receive it. For some of you here today or listening at home, this step of accepting the gift of God's love may be difficult. It may be something you've struggled with for a long time. It may be a brand new idea for you, or it may be a gift you've neglected for a while. Maybe you feel unlovable. Maybe you've been burned by human loves too many times to trust that there's something greater. Maybe you think, you don't even know what I've done. You don't know the dark secrets, doubts, fears, and pain inside. But I'm here to tell you, it doesn't matter. God loves you just the way you are. Max Lucado, in his book, Just Like Jesus, describes God's love like this. He says, God's love never ceases, never. Though we spurn him, ignore him, reject him, disobey him, he will not change. Our evil cannot diminish his love. Our goodness cannot increase it. Our faith does not earn it, and any more than our stupidity jeopardizes it. God doesn't love us less if we fail or more if we succeed. God's love never ceases. I love that. Jesus put it this way in Luke chapter 12, verses 6 and 7. What is the price of 5 sparrows? 2 copper coins? Yet God does not forget a single one of them, and the very hairs on your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are more valuable to God than a whole flock of sparrows. In Jesus' day, a copper coin was one of the smallest coins in circulation, like a penny. And one such penny could buy you 2 sparrows, but 2 pennies could buy you 5 sparrows. Think about that. Sparrows were so worthless that you buy 4 at a penny a pair and get a 5th sparrow for free. You know, there may be days when you feel like that 5th sparrow, worthless, insignificant, unimportant, unloved, but you're not. You are loved by God. Even the sparrows matter to him, and you are so much more valuable to God than a whole flock of sparrows. You are the apple of his eye. As Augustine put it, he loves us, he loves each of one of us as if there were only one of us. He loves each one of us as if there were only one of us. Think about that. You are the object of God's love. So furthermore, as we continue this verse, we discover the offering of love. Next is the offering of love. Again, Jesus says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. God's gift of love came wrapped in swaddling clothes. The story of Christmas isn't just a story of feelings, because love is a verb. It requires action. Christmas is God's story of love in action. How the God of the universe loves you so much that he gave his one and only son to be born in a stable, to die on a cross, and rise again from the grave. Jesus is God's gift of love to you. So I read this story about a school Christmas pageant. Of course, there was nothing there to make it religious, really. There was there were snowmen, there was reindeer and the like. And but as part of the program, the kindergarten class sang a song titled Christmas Love. And 13 of the children had large letters that they were to hold up as they sang the song to spell out the words Christmas Love. Well, everything was going well until the small, quiet girl who had the letter M held up her sign. Pretty soon, the kids began to giggle and laugh as the song kept going. Of course, the little girl had no idea why everyone was laughing, so she just kept singing and holding up her sign. The song continued until the last letter was raised. And slowly, all the laughter died down as the audience read the message spelled out by the letter. The reason everyone had giggled was the little girl with the M held her sign upside down, making a W instead. And yet at the end of the song, there was no laughter because the message of Christmas spoke loud and clear. Instead of saying Christmas love, the message those kids held up said Christ was love. And he still is. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine the impact that had on that audience? Jesus is not only the reason for the season, he is the love of God, a gift to the entire world, just waiting to be unwrapped. And finally, as we come to the end of this verse, we discover the outcome of love. Jesus finishes the most famous verse in the world saying, "Whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." You know, the intended outcome or the results of God giving his gift of love is that we might believe in him, put our faith in him, and in so doing receive yet another gift, life everlasting, eternal life. From the moment we receive the gift of Christ, we have eternal life and the hope that that brings. God's love is intended to draw us to him. You know, God once described his relationship with people in these words in Hosea chapter 11, verse 4. "I drew them with gentle cords, with bands of love, and I was to them as those who take the yoke from their neck. I stooped and fed them." You know, when I read this, I pictured a mom, you know, walking through a zoo or a crowded mall, connected to her little rambunctious three-year-old by one of those harnesses with a leash attached. Have you ever seen those? I always thought they were strange, but I could have used it with my four boys. Well, there's a certain kind of spider with a similar system for protecting its young. Yes, I went from kids' harnesses to spiders. That's how it works, right? The spider builds its nest in the branch of a small tree or bush. Within this delicate enclosure, the baby spiders are hatched. If the nest is disturbed in any way, the little spiders will rush out in fright. But each one of the young ones has a thin, silky strand attached to it. And all these strands are joined to the body of the mother. So when an enemy threatens the babies, they naturally, you know, they start to scurry off, giving their lines a sharp tug. Well, the mother spider instantly feels this, and within seconds, she pulls them back to the nest where they are protected from harm. That's what God's love does for us. It draws us to him, inviting us to put our faith in Jesus and to live in the safety of his love for all eternity. Again, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." That's the message of Christmas and the gospel. The origin of God's love, the object of God's love, the offering of God's love, and the outcome of God's love. And maybe this goes without saying, but if you've unwrapped and embraced the gift of God's love this Christmas, maybe you can share it with someone else. I think you should. It's the greatest gift you'd ever receive. When you get a good gift, don't you want to share it? That's what my parents taught me. Well, speaking of my family, my grandmother loved the Peanuts cartoons and passed that love to me. I know last week I shared a story from the Peanuts cartoons. My grandmother would always tell me that Charles Schulz was a Christian and that you could see Jesus in his comic strips. Now, when I was younger, just as an aside, you know, I'd rush to the comic strip and look for Jesus. I didn't see him in there. But as I got older, I could see him. I remember a Peanuts cartoon where Lucy comes in and says to Charlie Brown, "Merry Christmas, Charlie Brown. 'Tis the season of peace on earth and goodwill toward men. Therefore, I suggest we forget all our differences and love one another." Well, Charlie Brown, his face lights up at this, and he replies, "That's wonderful, Lucy. I'm so glad you said that. But tell me, do we have to love each other only at this season of the year? Why can't we love each other all year long?" To which Lucy retorts, "What are you, a fanatic or something?" You know, I say, if you've accepted God's gift of love, if you've accepted salvation through Jesus Christ, be a fanatic. Let's be fanatics. Because family, let's keep our focus on making this season of love, just making it a season of love that reaches far deeper than the carols and the gifts exchanged. Let's revel in God's love and be known to others by our love for one another all year. May this be a season of accepting, experiencing, and most of all, sharing God's gift of love in a new and deeper way. You know, if you don't know the love of salvation of Jesus Christ today, right now, you can receive that gift. God's word says in Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You know, you admit you're a sinner and that without Christ, you have no hope after your body dies. Honestly, you really have no hope, no true hope for today without him. You can't truly know how to love others if you don't know how to love, if you don't have the love of God. You understand what I'm saying? Before I knew the love of Christ, before I accepted that, received that love, that amazing sacrificial love, I didn't know how to love others. The world doesn't know how to love. God, through his son Jesus, shows us how to love. You know, and then you repent, you turn away from your sin, you turn to Jesus, and he saves you and forgives you. He reconciles you to God the Father, and he fills you with the Holy Spirit, who gives you the power to become more like Christ, to love like Christ every day. Let's leave here today. Let's go out this week. Let's share the love of Christ with a world that desperately needs it. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, thank you that in this season of Advent, we can unwrap the gift of your love. Father, help us to receive and respond to your love, not just this Christmas, but every day. Please continue to fill us with expectation as we live in your love and wait for the complete fulfillment of that love when Christ comes again. And in the meantime, help us to love one another like you have loved us. And help us to share your love and the good news of Jesus Christ in a world that desperately needs it. Father, be with us this week. Bless us this week. Protect us, guide us by your Holy Spirit. We love you. We praise you. We do all that in Jesus' saving and precious name. Amen. Have a good week, and God bless.